the worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of, like, worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
Yeah, and we feel the pain is best or funny. Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast.
Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. I'm your host, Christine Lakin.
I'm your host, Ala.
You can't even say my name right.
Moonves.
No, you can't.
It's a la. But I was talking to someone yesterday that kept calling you Ala.
Well,
and I wanted to correct them.
By the way, my sister and my brother call me Ala.
Ala?
Yeah, because growing up, no one could ever say my name correctly. So the teachers would always call me Ala.
Like God.
No, God is Allah.
Oh, okay.
So, but they would call me Ala. So my sister to this day and my brother to this day say Ala.
It's a laugh.
It's like a laugh. Aladdin. Like Aladdin without the din.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you always been Christine?
Yeah, I've always been Christine. Although people tend to call me Christina a lot, which bucks the shit out of me. I hate that. I hate when people are like, Christina? Christina?
No.
That's the, like, Christine is the classic. Christina is the derivative, the abbreviation, the nickname. I don't know. I don't know why no one can get it right.
Christina's not a nickname. It's
Christina?
Yeah.
I feel like Christina is sort of like the... No, Christina
people,
is a great name.
No, but people name their children Christina.
Name.
They don't say, you're Christine, but we're going to, as a nickname, we're calling you Christina.
Well, okay. But
I mean,
like,
I was like, huh?
Huh? I feel like it's, but I'm saying, I feel like it's the. It's,
Chris is a nickname.
Yeah. I have a couple friends who call me Chris.
Yeah. I'm surprised people don't call you Kristen.
Oh, no. But people do call me a lot by my last name. Lakin.
Well, yeah. Everyone calls you Lakin.
Everyone calls me Lakin.
Well, you had that web series called Love and Lakin.
Right. But then I, you know, my sister-in-law was like, why don't you name your child Lakin? That's a really cool
name.
I
told you that. We talked about this.
Yeah, but the problem is that would, I feel like it would have been a little weird since people call me Lakin. It's just like, oh, your son's
no
Lakin,
one,
it, Lakin.
No one really cares that much that you would, they wouldn't go, oh, that's weird. They'd be like, oh, that's a cool name.
All right. Well, we went with the name that you hate. So
it's
anyway.
Not that I hate it. It just, for me, it doesn't fit him yet.
You don't, he's 9 weeks old. What does fit him? Nothing. He's like a marsupial.
His name is Baylor.
Baylor.
It's so, I don't
what?
Know.
What is it so?
I don't know. I got to figure out a good name for him.
Okay. You've renamed my dogs. You're not going to rename my child.
Her dogs. What are their dogs' names?
My dogs' names are Cody and Zoe, and you want to call them
Sherman and Foster. Because one of them was a foster. She was fostering the dog, so I just called her Foster. And Sherman, because he doesn't look like a
Cody?
No.
He's so weird.
Cody's are like Rhodesian Ridgebacks.
Huh?
You know, that's a Cody. This is like Sherman.
Cody's like Benji to me. Cody's like a mutt, which is
No. When I lived with Donnie Jeffcoat, do you remember Donnie Jeffcoat?
I remember Donnie Jeffcoat.
He had a Rhodesian Ridgeback named Cody.
Well, okay, that's then. All right.
But,
that's
and I gave Donnie the nickname Cobbler because one time I was walking past my room and Donnie was in my room like hammering my heel back on my shoe because the dog had eaten all my shoes. And
no.
I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? And so everyone was laughing. I was like, what are you, a fucking cobbler? You're going to have to buy me shoes. We should get Donnie Jeffcoat on this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I remember when one of my oldest friends like broke up with her boyfriend and then she and Donnie dated for like a half a second.
Oh my God. He was like, he would go deer hunting. And
he was in our acting class too, wasn't he?
He was in our acting class, and I lived with him.
Deer hunting.
Yeah, he'd go deer hunting wherever his family's from or whatever, and we'd have a whole freezer, I'm not kidding,
oh, yeah.
of all the deer meat.
Right.
And then he would make this like mushroom tea that fermented. He was like, and he would have
like LSD tea?
I don't
mushroom
know.
Tea?
It was some druggy tea. And then I would, and then he would have those dream catchers all over his room.
Okay, yeah.
Like he was like peyote guy.
Oh,
like
yeah,
he was
sure.
like totally like Indian.
Peyote'd
like,
out.
Yeah. He's teaching karate now.
I heard. He has a dojo.
He's a dojo.
He has a dojo.
Dojo. Okay, so hold on.
What?
I want to introduce our
guest.
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
So I've known him for, I think you might have known him longer than I have.
I don't know. Have we? I don't know.
I'm not letting him speak. I'm not letting him speak until I introduce him. Okay. So he's, I mean, you're a 90s kind of star, yeah? You were on Seventh Heaven.
Yep.
It's like 6 degrees of Beverly Mitchell.
Well, pretty much.
What years were you on your show?
Step by Step was 91 to 97.
Okay. So that. Then,
sorry, 91 to 98.
And then Seventh Heaven kind of started just sort
around
of after that.
96, right?
Yeah.
Picked up where that left off.
Yeah, there was a little bit of overlap.
Yeah.
So his name is Adam Lavagne. Is it Lavagne? Lavagne? Lavagne?
Lavagne.
Lavagne? It's Lavagne. Just a weird spelling.
Silent J. It's Italian.
Is it Italian? It sounds so French. Although I've met your parents, I've hung out with your parents, and they're as Italian as they get.
Yeah.
His mother, his mom, Sandy.
Did she give you a meatball when she met you?
No, my mom is a towhead.
Oh, shut up.
My mom
is. Oh, yeah, she's blonde.
Her maiden name is Schnepf.
Yes.
But my dad's full Italian.
And they're in the educational system, yeah?
Yeah, my dad was a principal, and my mom was a teacher, and now they both are professors at a college.
Anyway. Right.
Wow.
But can drink.
Well,
like you, I mean, I've had a few bottles of wine with them.
Yeah, well,
so much fun.
Oh my gosh,
so much fun.
Your parents should get to know my parents.
Which, yes.
Adam also did our live show years and years ago,
which
so
he's pissed off about.
Now you're, boy, why are you pissed off about
because
that?
Because he still wants the footage,
thing.
And
oh,
we can't find the footage
because
the footage is on the hard drives.
Yeah, but we have boxes of hard drives. Yeah.
Listen, I've asked him so many times. Lynn has asked him a million times. Because I went off on that thing. Like, I was even, I was talking. I'm like, I can't believe I'm saying this.
I know, but to be honest with you, Adam, it wasn't like, it wasn't, if it was something I felt like you needed to have to showcase yourself, I would have, like,
no, I just wanted to look at it just for myself. Because you do something like that. I never did stand up before. That was pretty cool.
It's as close to stand up as you can get because it's storytelling.
Yeah.
And there's humor.
And you can't see the audience, which I liked. I thought I was going to see everyone, but that light.
Oh, yeah. No,
gets right in your eye.
We spotlight you. So when you auditioned for Seventh Heaven, was it for a regular or was it for a recurring?
Come on, bro. I didn't audition.
You got offered?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were an offerer kind of guy.
Yeah. I wasn't. My agents dropped me at CA. Well, no. Well, it was a mutual thing because they didn't want me to do it.
Why?
Because I had a Miramax film coming out. I had just done Law and Order. I had just done some other film and they didn't want me to do the show.
So what films were they?
It was a fucked up situation. Sorry. What's that?
So the films, obviously they saw you in the film or they
well,
knew.
Well, no. So
Jessica Biel.
Yeah. We did a movie together in 98 and I was in boarding school at the time. I was a junior. So I got to leave an all boys boarding school and go do a movie with her, which was fun. And so we started dating on that film. And then...
What was the movie?
I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Oh,
which
great.
Which is on. Like, just starts because, you know...
Oh, great.
Christmas
residual.
Time over here.
Residual.
Residual check.
Hello.
Health insurance. We did the film together. We started dating. And then I went to boarding school, back to boarding school. And then I went to Boston College the next year. And she was still on the show. And she... I guess they went to her and said, do you have any people that would be interested, you know, that you're interested in to play your boyfriend in the show next year? Cause we're going to write in, you know, a character for you as a boyfriend. And she was like, well, my boyfriend. And they were like, well, do you think that he'll do it? And she's like, well, let me ask him. So she called me up and she's like, do you want to do the show? And I said, well, I'm at Boston College. It's not like it's, you know, some Mickey Mouse school. You know, they said they would work with me, but can you handle that load? Will they be able to like get a tutor for me? You know, I had to stay in school and I was like, you know, it's Boston College. It's not.
And it shoots in LA.
Right.
So she said, yeah, they'll take care of it. They'll get you, you know, the college level tutor that works with this person, that person. I said, okay, we'll give you like, you know, offer me like $17.5 an episode.
Jesus, we're talking money. I like this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
$17.5. I don't give a shit. $17.5 for like 8 episodes. We'll pick you up Boston College. There was a, you know, talent car that come pick me up, fly me first class to here. I would work on it. And I was playing hockey at the time. So I went to the coach at BC and I said, and BC is like playing basketball at, you know, UConn or football at Alabama. It's big time hockey.
Right.
And so the coach said to me, he's like, look, you're not getting paid to play hockey here. You know? So
right.
Go take the money now and, you know, go do your thing. So they work with me And yeah, so they offered to me. I did it, but to get back to what I was saying about like my agents at CAA at the time, and I in retrospect should have listened to them. They didn't want me to do it, and I said to Jesse, I'll do it. And then she came back to me the next day and she said, well, what happened? She said that you, you negged the deal. And I said, what do you mean? I told my manager to make it happen. And she goes, well, your agents said that it was a no go. And so I was like, all right.
I'm
like,
how many times has this happened? I've heard this exact story so many times.
CAA, you're great. I love you, but fuck off. Like, don't. And then, like, maybe it was lost in translation. Maybe they talked to my parents. I was in school. So maybe I didn't hear about it, but I took it as you made the decision for me. When at the time I didn't give a shit about the show. I just wanted to be with Jesse. And you're going to pay me $100,000? Come on.
So you did the show just for Jesse?
And for the $100,000.
Okay. I was going to say.
I mean, you were.
So did you move out here
like
permanently?
I was in love. And you're, when you're 18 and in love, if someone says, hey, here's $100,000 to go, you know, do your thing with your, you know, 18-year-old girlfriend.
And Jessica Biel's, I mean, she's no, she's gorgeous, former model, and, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you lasted how many seasons?
I lasted how many
seasons? Was it supposed to be just for the one season?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh, well, okay, this is good.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, it was supposed to be 8 episodes, and so I did it, and then Jesse wound up doing this gear photo shoot.
I remember that shoot. Yeah, very that? Controversial.
Yeah, and it was, I can't think of the guy's name, but it was Bob Guccione, who was Penthouse's
photographer?
Editor? No, he was like the Larry Flint of Penthouse. Okay. And it was his son who had it. And so I went with her, and anyway, she shot it at the, what's it, it's knocked down there. It's where RFK was killed. Is it the Ambassador?
Yes.
The Ambassador, right? The Ambassador.
I don't remember.
Hotel.
They took her dad and I on a tour and showed us like, oh, here's where RFK got shot. This is not the whole time. Like, she's up there being coaxed to like take her top off and, you know, do pictures and stuff. Typical of like LA greaseball shit. So anyway, so she got them to break her contract so she could leave and go back to school. She didn't get into BC. She got into Tufts, which is just as good a school as BC. And we were like right across town. So it was like, oh great. We're finally gonna be able to be on the same coast together. I'm with my girlfriend. She's in college. I'm in college. Everything is going to plan. Like this is, you know, we weren't looking to be famous actors. Like if anything, at that point you were like, back then it was like you shied away from it. It's not like now where you know, need to have like a billion Instagram followers and stuff.
But you're also teenagers. So you really don't know.
Yeah. But like we would do a photo shoot together and they would just say like, you know, just say you're not together. So we would do a photo shoot and do an interview and, you know, of course you're together, but like the interviewer would be like, so are you guys together? And it's like, no, we're just, you know, we're really good friends.
Right.
And it's like, you know,
cause they wanted you to be like open and
available. At that time also, it's like, at that time it's, Teen Beat.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no social media.
Nothing.
There's no like,
zero.
So that's,
zero.
Yeah. That's your press.
Zero. Nothing. So anyway, and I don't know what the motivation was behind it, but when I started my sophomore year, she started her freshman year, and about maybe a week or two in, now maybe like the second weekend, I got this big place on Comm Ave. Had these French doors and these huge windows. And I was a college kid, you know, and I had a couple other roommates and they were like in the shitty rooms in the back, but it was cool. Like I was ready to do my sophomore year and she was there. And then they called me about, like I said, 2 weeks in and they said, listen, you know, we want to bring you back as a series regular and, you know, we want to bump up the pay and, you know, what do you think? And looking back on it, I shouldn't have done it, but I took the money.
Why?
Well, I look back at it now and I wonder if any of it was to kind of get back at her, you know, to say, oh, you want to leave the show? Okay, we'll take your boyfriend. I don't know.
Oh, you thought they hired you because she wanted to leave the show?
I mean, I think kind of fucked up like that, but I mean.
So wait, because I didn't watch the latter seasons of Seventh Heaven.
Yeah.
So she was off the show, but you were on the show?
We swip swapped.
So who were you?
She did the gear photo shoot, and it was really controversial. She was 18.
Best-selling gear of all time.
Yeah. It was super sexy.
Flew off
and
the racks. Think about magazines nowadays.
Yeah.
Think about a
magazine. Right.
Ancient.
Right.
And I believe it. Tell me if I'm right. It rubbed a lot of the producers in the wrong way because it was this wholesome family show, and here she is being like this super sexy woman. And they were pissed.
They made her famous.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, in a way, everyone understands, look, let's not beat around the bush. Like, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. And, you know, if you piss off the hand that feeds you, expect them to.
Isn't it crazy? Because if this show were to happen right now and that were to happen, they wouldn't care. They'd be like,
I don't know if they wouldn't care. It's the Miley Cyrus Hannah Montana thing. You know, she was known for being Hannah Montana, and then all of a sudden she got off the show and was like pole dancing on a thing. People were like, how dare you?
Yeah,
it's
Disney didn't like.
I don't know.
She did it after she was done with the series.
I feel like this happened many times back in the 90s. Like, it happened to Melissa Joan Hart at one point where she did Maxim or something. It happened to Danielle Fishel. She did Maxim.
Right.
And then, you know.
So interesting.
Yeah. And you know, was doing even, but it's like, that didn't happen that long ago. You know, Danielle, I think, did Maxim, and she was doing Girl Meets World.
Girl Meets World.
And I think Disney got super mad about it.
But they didn't fire her.
No, but I think there was a lot of, you know.
She did something with Ben just recently on their new show. What was the name of Ben's new show?
Yeah, Girl.
Oh, no, Girl Meets World.
No, Girl Meets World is a spinoff on the Disney Channel of Boy Meets World.
Right.
And they have, it's Ben and.
Ben and her, and they have kids.
They have a daughter.
That was the one that was just came out not too long ago.
Correct.
Just ended. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So wait, so then you become a series regular. So what's Jesse say about that?
Did she go on to Tufts?
She went on to Tufts.
Okay.
Yeah. What did she have to say about it?
Like, was she pissed that you went back?
You know, my brain's kind of cloudy from back then, but I don't think so, because I think that it was just a lot of money. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we were like, well, we're going to, like, I'll see you all the time. We'll fly back, this and that. And, you know, it won't be over in too long, and I'll have a whole shit ton of money in my pocket, you know?
Right.
So you were still dating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
let's get to the foggy part, because that's where things start going awry.
Yeah.
So while you're, and listen, we're just going to go there, Adam. Adam's not shy about his life, which is great, because
we all lived one.
Yeah. Well, not like this. And he seems, I don't know what to tell you. But so wait, the fogginess, when did that start? When we say foggy, you start getting into the Hollywood scene.
Yeah. Look, I always tell people, you know, when I was growing up and working, and I started working in the early 80s, and you know, your idols back then, and then, you know, the late 80s, early 90s, were Sean Penn, Johnny Depp. You know, these guys were trashing hotel rooms, like doing drugs. And it was like, that was like, if you were an actor, that was the, and then you kept to yourself and you were mysterious and all this shit. And so everyone is an actor back then, because you have so many different personalities, but everyone kind of like did their own thing in that way. You know what I mean? Like, that's why actors, you know, who knows?
But
you don't know who the person really is, because everyone is.
Also, the 90s were a very interesting time in Hollywood, because there was no social media, because there wasn't that whole, like, the Facebook or whatever.
It was tight knit.
It was very tight knit. Everyone knew each other.
Right.
Everyone went to the same bars, same time, same nights, opium den. And
Dublin's on Monday night.
Yeah. And so every.
Ledoux and.
Yeah. And if you got a table, if you knew someone had a table, it was the thing. Walking the velvet rope, not having to wait in line while the regulars wait, and they don't even get to go upstairs, or they don't get to go in this certain area. It was the thing. We lived a certain, and people got caught up in it. Like, for me, it was just alcohol, right? Yeah. That's all I did.
Yeah.
I never did any drugs back then or whatever, but I was older. I was in my
20s.
Yeah. You were on a show. You had the cash flow, and it was an escape.
I always said, listen, you want a reality show? Take a kid from a town of 1,100 people. Right, who used to get driven into the city or take Metro North, and I would book roles, but I still lived in this small little Italian farming town. I thought everyone was Italian as a kid. Everyone had a vowel at the end of the last name. You're like, you're like from, like, you know, some foreign land here in LA. But, and then, you know, shoot him into LA and give him the lifestyle, the money, no supervision. I mean, the only people out here that, you know, were Lynn and Tom.
Right.
You know? And so.
That's Alyssa's parents.
That's family friends.
Family friends.
So, I mean, it's like, you have nothing holding you back. Do whatever you want at any time. Just go buy fucking, you know, model airplanes for like $600 and crash them.
Do you remember the first time you did drugs?
Yeah, yeah. I remember, actually, the first time I ever got high, I remember I got high with a buddy of mine when I was, I think, about 12 years old. And I got so whacked out that my mom picked me up and I had to go to math tutoring because I was trying to get into a good boarding school. And I was in the car. My mom pulls in the driveway and she goes, "Adam, will you bring the garbage pails in?" And I go, "Kick donuts down the street?" She goes, "What?" And I was like, "Oh, shit, I got to go upstairs." And I fell asleep with my hands on the toilet thinking I was going to puke. That was the first time I got stoned. But the first time
that was from marijuana.
Yeah. And then I drank early, you know, like 10, 11 years old and didn't really like that. But the first time I did hard drugs was probably 16 at boarding school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like that's where actually a lot of the hard drugs start.
Yeah. Well, because the kids in boarding school with money, they're the ones that start the quickest.
But yeah, you're working 14-hour days too. And how are you functioning if you're like doing...
Oh, bro. I mean, it was like... I mean, when I was on set...
Yeah.
I mean, I had this one guy that he was on the list of people that would just get let in. You could give security. You know what I mean?
They'd right.
Ask for the car, but... There was on a list, and he was my drug dealer. So I'd hit him up, and I'd be like, "Dude, you got to get the set. Like, I'm fucking jaws jamming. Like, you need to get here by, like, 10. You got to get here quickly." And then shoot him in. I'd come in, he'd be in my trailer, and, you know, this and that.
So you would do it on set?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Just to, like, get through the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When?
Yeah, I mean, I was sober maybe, like, 20% of that show, maybe.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. How many seasons did you do?
Generous. I did, like, 50 episodes. So, you know, kind of
220.
I dip out here and there.
That's crazy.
Oh my
But I mean,
God.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, you're doing drugs. You're not thinking clearly. Like, right. Looking back on it now, and you're like, that's insane. Like, the way I was behaving was just, that's, you know, ridiculous. I would never do that now at 37 years old.
But, well, we'll get to that later. But, okay.
No, but work-wise, like, everything now, like, work is
no,
work.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Like, when I'm left to my own devices, okay, you know? But...
So wait, so then...
I was working and doing it.
So when did it start catching up with you while you were working?
I mean, probably in like... Well, when after Jesse and I broke up and then I was single, that's when it got worse.
Yeah. And when was that? What year was that on the show for you?
01.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you played... Just remind the fans. You played what character?
Robbie Palmer.
Such a Robbie Palmer.
Sure, he's like not a like Sherman or a name. Foster.
No, he's Robbie. And did the producer, how did the, like, obviously people are starting to know that something's not right.
Well, no, this is the weirdest thing, man. I kind of pat myself on the back for this. The people on set thought that I was an alcoholic. Like, I had maybe had a problem with alcohol because I'd be on set and be really like, jovial, because I wasn't doing drugs that would make me upset. You know what I mean? So as long as I was high, I was in a great mood.
But you wouldn't smell like booze.
Right. So that's why I'm like, what are these people talking about?
Right.
You know? But they really didn't have much of an idea. You know?
I also think back then, like, I mean, you did hardcore drugs. You weren't doing, like...
Yeah, no. I was ripping it.
Yeah. You were ripping it. And I think back then also, it was sort of...
People were naive to
what was
happening.
Naive to what was really happening. Like, now you talk about, like...
It's mainstream.
Yeah,
back then, it was taboo.
Yeah, it was taboo then. Now it's like, oh, cocaine? Oh, yeah, that happens all the time. Or
heroin. Well, you see memes and you know, shit like that, and, like, everything has become more desensitized because there's so much more content being thrown at you.
It's true.
It's so crazy.
What was your... Can I ask you, what was your drug of choice back then?
Tell the truth.
Were doing lots of things?
I mean, always pot. That was always primary.
Well, now it's legal, so
yeah. Which is, it's a medicine, you know. I mean, you can abuse it, and it's a drug.
But back then, you didn't know what you were getting. Like, people were lacing shit. It was like,
yeah,
you didn't know. You really didn't know.
Back in New Haven, they used to have this stuff. They have a big problem with this. This summer, they had like literally like 60, 70 people in one day. It made national news. Like on that shit K2, and when they went down, people thought they were having heart attacks and they were dying.
Yeah.
All this shit. But yeah, we used to get stuff in New Haven called Illy. It was weed dipped in formaldehyde, and
ooh,
you smoked.
God.
It used to go blind, and you
oh,
just
Jesus.
You'd be like, oh shit, yep, that wasn't real pot. I'm going blind. Need to lay down.
Oh my God!
Shut it down.
So it's so natural for him to talk about it. It's like crazy.
Rob
looks
horrified.
It's funny as it's going on. You're like, this is really happening.
Was there a moment? So you ended up going to rehab.
Yeah.
During the show,
pills, opiates. Opiates is my drug of choice.
Opiates.
Yeah.
Does that mean pills?
Yes.
Yes.
Like
Oxy, things like that.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
It obviously caught up with you. You decided to go to rehab.
Whoa. No, poppies, Christine. I ground poppies.
All right.
Yeah, well, they made me go. I didn't want to.
Who did?
They made me go. The show.
The show. So they ended up finding out.
Yeah.
Did they have like a trailer confrontation where they like, Adam, we need to have a talk? Did Brenda Hampton come in and was she like?
The thing I got to say is Brenda honestly was, and I feel bad about this, and I wrote her a letter after I left the show. I don't know if she ever got it. But she was so good to me, and she, like, when I came on the show, treated me with, you know, open arms, and she was great to me, and I fucked her over. And she knows that. I always said if they ever did a reunion, that would be, like, the one character that they probably wouldn't ask back. But she really liked me, and I really liked her. Sorry, I forgot what the original question was. Oh. How I, yeah, I don't know. I think they've, I don't know. I don't know what happened.
But they didn't fire you.
No.
That's the crazy part.
They almost, no. They gave me like, no, dude, they gave me like, they three or four times.
Chances they say, hey, yeah, go clean yourself up.
Yeah, I kept going back and back to rehab. They kept giving me another chance, a second chance, a third chance. It was like a fucking cat.
Was that a spelling thing?
Brenda.
Brenda did it.
Mm-hmm.
And you were still working on the show, or they would give you sort of a leave of absence to go to rehab?
Yeah. I went to rehab here a couple times. They sent me back home into rehab, and I got thrown at everyone I went to. I was the second person to jump promises after Robert Downey. Remember when Downey jumped the fences and fell asleep in that house down the street?
Oh my God.
I was the second person. They're like, don't do it. Don't do it. I'll be right back. I only got to jump over the fence.
And where'd you go?
You want the story?
Yes.
All right, it's really good.
No, this is worst ever for nothing. All right.
I'll give you the story. I was in rehab, spent 30 days, got out. Day out, crashed my car. Going to set on the 405. I call up the Beverly Hills Hotel. I say, listen, I want a room. I'm going to get a huge bag of blow. I'm going to have girls. I'm going to blow it out. I don't give a shit. I'm not going to work. I called Lynn. Lynn goes, we're having a car come pick you up. The car is staying there. We'll get it fixed. Relax. I've been in rehab for 30 days. I got out and I crashed my car. You know, I'm like, I'm destined to just be a fuck up, or, you know, got a dark cloud over me. So I wound up, you know, working that night. And about maybe a week and a half later, I started getting fucked up again. And we were filming in Hancock Park at this big house on the street. And we had all of our, you know, the tent city or whatever the hell it's called in the middle of the street. And, I was asleep at like 3 p.m, just like, you know, just whacked out of my mind. And they said, well, you know, come in tomorrow to the E building or spelling, whatever it was in Santa Monica. And they said, you know, and we want you to piss test. And I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna pass that. So let's just cut to the chase here. You got to go into rehab again. I said, okay. So I went in on a Friday and I had to wire them $60,000. So the first rehab, God rest his soul, Aaron Spelling paid for. That was $30,000. But I had to go in again. So it was $60,000. It was to keep your job. So I said, shit, I got to pay it out of my pocket. So I wired them $60,000 on a Friday. And then on Sunday night, my buddy, and I'm going to say it because I love him, but I haven't seen him or talked to him in a while, but Chris Brosnan, who's Pierce Brosnan's son, we had met in rehab, became really good friends and hung out and shit. And we had become close. And I called him up and I'm like, listen, you need to throw a bag. You need to bring like a bag of dope up here and just, you know. Then I don't know why I was. I mean, my
brain. Is that the hotel?
No, this is in rehab.
You're going to have him deliver at the rehab?
At Promises, way up Big Rock.
Okay, go ahead.
In Malibu. So he's like, no. I can't do it. I said, listen, bro. I go, I would do it for you if you asked me. I know it's fucked up,
Adam.
But you got to do this for me, please. And so he says, okay. So I'll be there at 10:30, you know, whatever it was. And we used to have curfew at 11. So you could stay up, but like, you know, you had to be like settled in at 11 o'clock. So 10:30, he's got his vintage Mustang and he's fucking ripping up Big Rock. And I hear his car turn around. I'm looking at my fucking watch and I go out to the fucking where the fence is. And I'm like, he's going to get out of his car. He's going to, you know, he's going to hand it to me, or, you know, not hand it to me because they would have seen that. And they have techs. So they have these guys that are around the clock, you know, and these are like burly black dudes, mad cool, but like, you know, they'll fucking grab you by your collar if you fuck around.
Right.
And so they could see you and they were looking, you know, and I'm playing basketball at the end of the driveway, right? But I'm only playing basketball because I'm waiting for the drugs to come, you know, and I'm like
shooting. Stalling.
Stalling, exactly. So he comes ripping around. I see his car. I'm like, sweet. and he launches it from from the driver's seat, like left-handed over the car in like a pack of Marlboro Lights, like black tar heroin, which isn't very heavy. You know what I mean? So it like hits his roof and like dribbles down in the middle of the street, which is right outside the fence, but there's a big ass fence and a big ass gate. So I'm looking at it, I'm going like, yo, I'm going to get that. I'm not leaving it there. Like, you know, this is a half-assed plan with two fucking idiot drug addicts trying to put this together. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to throw the ball over and then I'm going to jump over the fence and then pretend I'm going to get the ball and I'll grab it. So I grab the basketball, throw it over the fence, and I yell down the driveway. I go, boys, I go, I'm just going over the fence and I'm going to go grab the basketball. And they immediately know something is up, right? Like they know, maybe they saw me throw the ball. I don't know. Like, don't do it. Don't do it. I'm climbing up the fence like this. I'm Spider-Man and over it. I'm jumping down. I'm like, oh no, I'll be right back. I'll be right there. Let me get the basketball. Let me get the basketball. Grab the cigarettes, you know, got the basketball, came back over. And then just like a whole, like it was so like a warmth came over me. I'm like, oh, get some relief tonight. But the fucked up thing was is that they saw me on a Friday and they just like sat me down. They gave me like melatonin. I'm coming down off major fucking drugs. Give me melatonin. Nowadays they do it totally differently.
So wait a minute. You got the drugs?
Like got the drugs. So I go into the main house and I go into the, so for the first, every time you're in there, you got to like spend the first week, like in the main house where like all the action goes on, where the doctors are, the psychiatrists are, all of the, you know, technicians and everyone, like that's like their hub. And then when you behave yourself, then you go to the house in the back and then you go to this place on Cool Oak that we used to call Cruel Jokes. It's this beautiful house and you're in fucking rehab and it's called Cool Oak, but you're in a cruel joke because you got to go to fucking, you know.
Wait, it's like a sober house?
AA every day. Yeah. Just down the street. I mean, you're under lock and key.
Right.
You know? So he threw it over. I got it and I go into the shower in there and I'm just taking a shower, you know, right before bed. And I'm in there and I got my tinfoil and I'm smoking heroin. And, you know, all of a sudden I hear the door open up. And so I have a lighter and, you know, tinfoil. And so I immediately ball up the tinfoil and I go, and now I'm holding the dope in my lungs. And this technician walks in and he's super cool, but he's sharp, you know, a dude from like South Central back in the day. And he's like, you good? And I was like, yeah, man, I'm good. And he's like, cool, all right. And he leaves. I'm like, now I'm whacked out. Go into my room that night, Sunday night, and had a little CD player, like this alarm clock from Sharper Image thing. It had a CD player, and it was kind of thick, and it had like, you know, where batteries you could put. And there was a thing. I unscrewed it, took out the little panel, circuit panel under that, put the heroin in there, you know, screwed it back up, put it down. The next day, I go to work, right? On Seventh Heaven. Now they send I had to pay $500. I got this guy who was, I don't know what you want to call him, a handler,
sober coach.
Yeah, whatever. He worked for the rehab, and he was there to watch me. And I could get a Klonopin like every 4 hours. They give me like a milligram Klonopin, which now knowing what I know is like, come on, you know, you're just taking someone who's on drugs and just whacking them out in a different way.
Right.
Yeah.
So needless to say, I wasn't thinking clearly.
So you were working at the same time that you were in the rehab.
Well, yeah. Actually though, that Monday they found the heroin at the rehab and they threw me out. So I spent $60,000 for nothing. They gave me a credit. I still have one. $38,900, almost 40 G's in credit up at Promises. So.
It's too bad I can't transfer.
Well,
I got a couple of friends that could use it. So then did you go to another rehab after that?
Yeah. Or? So then they sent me back to Connecticut and I went to this place called Silver Hill, which is where like Mariah Carey went and Billy Joel. And, you know, it was another one of these, you know, places. And I got thrown out of there.
What'd you do?
I got Oxycontin and like I fell asleep at a meeting and sold them to like a couple of kids that were there. But the thing is, you become friends with people and you're all drug addicts. So it's like, you know, you're not like trying to fuck up someone's life, but someone's like, listen, man, I can't wait to get out of here. I got these dreams, these aspirations, but they're drug addicts. They're crazy. You're fucked up. You're nuts too. You have something in common. So you're not like trying to ruin anyone's life, but you're all in the same lane. Yeah.
So when does it start changing?
In my mid-20s, I went to school and then I remember my dad found a guy, his name was Rich Francis, and he actually ran Silver Hill. And this guy is like one of the biggest drug guys in the world. And I remember it was like I think it was like maybe like, it's so stupid to spending so much money, but I remember it was like $500 for like a 30-minute session. This guy was like, you know, midtown, something like that, like Park and 36. And so I went in and he drew a line and he was like, so this is where you're at right now. And he goes, and this is dying. This is death. And it was like within inches of each other. So he's like, you think you're doing all right, but you know, I overdosed once and you know, then you're like, oh boy, I got to get this together. So.
Wow.
You just think you're going to live forever, you know?
Sure.
You don't think about dying when you're 22.
So then.
Which is why it's so sad. Like these kids like Mac Miller and stuff, you know, they don't plan on dying. I don't think, you know, they're just going through some shit and they're partying. They got a lot of money and you know.
Yeah.
What, so you finished Seventh Heaven. Are you still struggling with the addiction or are you like?
Yeah. No. I went back to New York. I moved into, to a beautiful one bedroom in, Gramercy. Mm-hmm. Ethan Hawke lived upstairs with Uma Thurman. It was dope, but yeah, I just continued to, I went to Lee Strasberg. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go be an actor. I want to, you know, learn my craft, and Strasburg sucked.
Stanislavski. Did you continue to work?
Yeah, like here and there. Yeah. I mean, I went back to school. I went back to college. I went to a place called Fairfield University, and I enrolled there. But, you know, that was sporadic, to say the least. I wasn't thinking clearly there either.
Christ.
Yeah, it was a roller coaster until about 25.
But not only that, but you're on a show with a lot of kids. Yeah. Like, it's a lot of kids. And it's about Jesus.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
like,
yeah.
You know? So
they
like,
tried to stay non-denominational.
Right, well, whatever. Right. He's spiritual. It's a spiritual show, right? And it's like, you know, and here's this guy who's like the anti-anything. And you are doing like, it's almost like you're like going, fuck you to like, you're like pushing your limits into.
Well,
like,
look, this is the thing, to be honest with you. Like, I didn't like, look, it all stems back from why I shouldn't have done the show in the first place. It wasn't something, if it wasn't for Jesse, it's not something that I would, it's not something that I
wasn't your bag.
No, it wasn't my bag. Right. And up until that point, like I'd always worked and I worked since 9 and I didn't have that desire to be famous or that desire to be rich. I had like when I became well known, I did a movie Milk Money when I was 13 or I was 12. Right. And that came out when I was 13 and like I was ostracized in my school. Like kids, I didn't like start getting laid, you know, in eighth grade. Cause I was in a movie. I would play hockey and, you know, I would line up for a face off and kids would, you know, call me like, you know, I'm not going to say the words, but they were like, you this and that, like you're an actor. What a fucking, you know, blah, blah, blah.
And you're also in the Northeast.
Right. Right.
In a very like,
Everything charged racially, sexually, you know, people are fucking shot. So it wasn't necessarily a good thing being an actor when I was that age. So, you know, I wasn't looking for that, you know? And so in retrospect, I shouldn't have done it. And, you know, once I did it, I didn't like the fact that people thought that they knew me for that character. You know, they would meet me or they would see me and they think that you're that character. So in a way, combined with my just genetics, wanted to get as far away from that as possible. So when you saw me, I was going to be lit up. And people would be like, man, that's the kid from fucking Seventh Heaven, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you had like almost like a split personality.
Like a complex because of it in a way.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Well, that's why people want to get off shows so badly, right? They're on the TV show for 7 years. Every day they got to cut their hair the same way. They got to keep their facial hair the same way. The clothes are picked for them. And they just get sick of it. And they got a bunch of money. And they're like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore.
And then they stop doing it. And then a couple years later, they're having to memorize lines for free and go out and sling hash and try to get another job. And they're like, oh, fuck, what have I done?
And come on, worst ever podcast.
Yes, right. Exactly. Yeah. And this is where you wind up.
But you know what? We've had some celebs here like you wouldn't believe. But listen to me, Adam. You're still working as an actor.
Right.
You're just not doing it as much because you're concentrating on school now.
Right.
You're finally doing... like
right.
Finally,
oh, we're talking about nowadays.
Right now. Yes, you're finally like...
Yes.
But it was... obviously, it was this... path, like it was, you've been up and down and up and down and up and down, right? But you still do the acting, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're on a show now, you've been recurring on.
I did a show called Power That came out not too long ago.
What network is that?
Stars.
Right.
No. Yeah. Stars. I did that, but it's just like, you know what? You work and there's commercials that you do, and you know, for what you're going out for, you're doing well, but you're just, you know, you can't make a consistent living all the time, you know?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
It's different now than it was. It's very different than it was back then.
I remember when I was a kid, my agent came to me. I was maybe 14 years old. My agent came to me and said, listen, do you want to be a TV actor or do you want to be a movie actor?
Right.
And I said, what do you mean? Well, you got to pick one or the other because you can't do both.
Yeah, back then, yeah.
It was George Clooney that did like the first, you know, he was a movie star and a TV
Facts
guy.
Facts of Life.
You know? I mean, you didn't do that. Well, ER, and then he became a big movie star.
And Facts of Life.
Yes, and Facts of Life.
With his flowing mullet.
Yeah,
and then
no.
Out of Sight, like that was the thing that changed it.
No, yep. I was doing great in the commercial industry when because they weren't using celebrities for commercials. Celebrities or people on television didn't do commercials. They didn't do ads unless it was a huge campaign
in Japan,
and they were in Japan or in France or whatever, right? And then all of a sudden, they're like, now they're doing all these commercials, and like people like us, we're like, what the fuck? You know, like we can't get a fucking commercial
job.
Well,
and also now, I think because of the fact that everything is DVR'd, you know, people are just running through the commercials so fast that they're not putting the money into them. By the way, I don't know, like I watched something on demand the other night, so I had to watch the commercials.
Right.
'Cause usually I don't watch any of them. And I had to watch them. I swear to God, probably 7 out of 10, there were 10 commercials, FYI, and 7 out of 10 were the worst things I've ever seen. They were definitely non-union. They were like low rent. Like it was weird. I felt like I was watching like cable access again.
Well, commercials now aren't the same because unless it's a Super Bowl ad or
right.
something like that, they're
no,
not.
They don't put the money in.
No.
My friend, you remember, you know Larry Poindexter?
Yeah.
So he did a commercial that ran for a while for some weird Cosentyx or, you know, some drug, right? For your heart or whatever. And he plays like a fireman, a fire chief.
Mm-hmm.
Shot for shot. I see it the other day, remade, shot for shot. With a totally different actor. And I was like,
I've seen that before.
Oh my God, wait, that was Larry.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably, and why would they do that? I'm assuming it's because he's a SAG actor and they would have had to re-up the contract.
Right.
And when they re-up it two or three times, then they have to pay you a lot of money, right? And it's cheaper just to go in and reshoot it?
Or unless it's a buyout. Unless they use the same set and just did a couple versions of it and with different actors.
Oh, maybe.
If you can figure out how you're getting paid in a commercial, you should get like work for NASA or like Raytheon or something. You know?
Well, I never trusted the residuals. I was like, I don't understand how they know like how much it's, but they pre-purchase.
They have that thing iSpot TV that you can go on. That's how I made most of my money in the last 3-4 years is on commercials, which is ridiculous because you work like what, like 48 minutes.
Right. No, I mean.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I made a lot of money off commercials, a lot.
And not as much anymore.
No, now I barely go out for commercials.
Well, you're missing two teeth.
No, one.
Okay.
By the way, which you can donate to
GoFundMe.
GoFundMe.com/ Alaa's New Grill. AlaasNewGrill. By the time this airs, I will have my teeth
fixed. But they can still donate because you're still going to need a new grill.
Well, no, I want the implant.
I didn't know that we could talk about that.
Oh,
yeah,
we've
already talked about
it.
I'm promoting my fucking GoFundMe. Are you kidding?
You know what?
No gold.
I was going to say, by the time like people start donating,
I thought about the diamonds.
You could get, what if you could? What if someone's just like, get a big benefactor?
Oh, a whole diamond tooth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
You could really show up your brother.
All right. So wait, you're not completely sober. I mean, you still like
now?
Totally. You don't do in life. You don't like you're not doing hard drugs.
No.
But you're not doing like.
No, I you know.
You still drink alcohol.
Normal stuff.
Like I can go out to a bar with you.
Yeah, of course.
There's some drug addicts. Yeah. You don't mind if I call you a drug addict. There's some drug addicts.
Well, I think it depends. I don't know. I mean, I'm not in the world, but from what I understand, I think it depends on what your vice is. If you were somebody that, you know, drank a little bit and it was fine, but then the drinking led to something else and then all of a sudden it was like, let's party.
Yeah.
Some people it's like that. Some people it's not. Some people it's like, no, my thing was this and that's where I got in trouble and that's where I know I can never go again.
Well, this guy, first of all, he's I'm going to say he's girl crazy. I mean, honestly, do you ever think that you're going to be in a relationship, like a long lasting, like get married, have kids kind of thing?
Yeah. I would like to think so. Yeah. I would like to think so, but you know,
it has, but your history is, way. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not great.
No.
I mean,
when was your last relationship?
Oh, Maria.
Well, there was a girl I was dating this summer as well in Connecticut.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, you don't have to say her name.
Hopefully they'll never hear this ever.
No, she won't until we post it. but wait, so you had a summer fling?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Greece, summer loving?
Happened so fast?
Kind of, yeah.
Had me a
blast. I mean, like,
no,
like
here's my next question. This is when it's going to start getting tricky with Adam, because now he's going to be interrogated. Age?
The girl this summer?
Yeah.
24.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's real good. didn't work out because, is this someone that you thought maybe you'd have a long-term relationship with?
I mean, you know, I go into everything in the very beginning thinking that that could be the case. Maybe that's part of the charm, you know, because I do kind of like give everything. But then I quickly, you know, found out that we are way too different people.
Because you
which
jump
is kind of like the attraction.
But you jump into relationships too.
I mean, my friends always say, and people that know me, that I don't like to be alone. So I always said, like, you know, if I'm with a girl, like, she's also going to be like that. I'm going to be with her all the time. So she'd be like my best friend. So it's nice to, you know, be around someone. Look at your face.
Well, because he's like, he's out of his, he's like, Adam picked me up from the metro station.
Right, because he couldn't lose your parking space. I got it.
Well, I live in K-Town.
Got it.
K-Town.
And the car ride to your house, Christine,
okay,
was literally him going, look at that girl. Now, she didn't like, and like, and like going like, she'd be hot.
No,
if
this
blah, blah, blah.
Girl was about to cut me off. And yeah. She was good. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. She's about to cut him off. And he's like, oh, she's hot. Never mind. That's okay.
Eating.
Like, I mean, that's the whole ride was
eating
that.
Mashed potatoes.
Like, he's like, all right, can we talk a little about New Orleans?
Yeah.
Great.
Whoa, hold it right there. Hey, this is Rob, your producer. We're going to have to take a break in this episode. Thanks for joining us for part one. Make sure to tune in as part two with Adam Lavornia gets even crazier. Follow us at Worst Ever Podcast and Worst Ever PC. Write to us at worsteverpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on social at Yo Lakin, Alec Led, definitely don't ask, and para.jpg. Thanks so much for tuning in.